Hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm super excited to talk about what this episode is going to be all about, which is going to be all of the things that I went over in giving my very first human design reading. So I gave my first reading a couple days ago, and that person learned so much, as well as I learned so much about the things that I could kind of tweak in the call, make even better moving forward. But he knew nothing about human design prior. He just knew that it existed, and he knew that it was something that I educate people on. And getting his responses throughout the call, you know, his reflections, and then as well as he took a feedback survey for me at the end of it. And both of those combined literally brought tears to my eyes. I shared it on my story this past Tuesday, where I was just so, so grateful. And it really just opened my eyes to and confirmed how this is what I was meant to be doing. I am meant to be educating people on their human design and sharing it, because there is this ripple effect that when you learn about your human design, you want other people to learn theirs, and you want them to know about yours, and you want to know about them. You know, it's like this constant feedback loop, and there's just this ripple effect. Every time I talk about human design, I literally light up. And me being a human design generator, that is my number one cue that I am just living in alignment. So I gave that first call. And in this episode, I really want to share again the things that I talk about in those calls. So if you at least know your human design type, which there are 4 to 5, I'll get into that in a second. But if you know your human design type, you're going to be able to get something out of this, because I'm going to go over some things pertaining to each of the types. If you don't know your human design type yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. There is the link in my show notes where you can look up your human design for free. There's no catch. You literally just look it up. You're not even putting in your email or anything like that. The one thing that does hold people back is they don't know their birth time, which you do need to know that. So if you don't know what your birth time is, which most people don't, they have to go back to their birth, you know, their birth certificate, dig up that birth certificate, call your mom and dad, do whatever you need to do to just get that birth time. And then once you get that birth time, write it somewhere, keep it stored in your phone, because you're going to want to go back to it, because you're probably going to want to look up your chart several times, because you're just going to forget the time. You're going to lose the chart. You're not going to save the chart, whatever it is, but save it, because I swear it will very much serve you. Whether or not you know your type, I really do think that the content that I'm about to talk about will serve you. I think it'll definitely motivate you to want to know your human design, because the information that I'm going to be sharing can literally be life-changing for you. And we'll get into that. So I'm just going to get into this because I'm super excited. So in those human design readings that I offer, I talk about your human design type, authority, strategy, signature, and not self theme. Human design really is kind of like your energetic blueprint. So all of this goes to how energy is flowing throughout your body. And there's so much that we can get into that, but that's not really the purpose of this episode, as well as what I do in the readings. What I do in the readings is just more of kind of like an intro to yourself. It's an intro to your human design that is more surface level, so that you can kind of just play with those main ideas. But it really does go so deep. So it's up to you how deep you want to go within your human design, but you don't want to just be like bouncing around from thing to thing to thing without really having mastered these main concepts that I'm about to go through in this episode. So first, we're going to talk about your human design type. So there are 4 human design types, technically 5, but I'll get into that in a minute. So your human design type is basically the role that you are taking on in this life. And all of us are meant to show up in a particular way and live out this role. And if we did this, and if we lived aligned with our human design in general, again, the world, I feel like I've said this before, so the world would just operate so much more smoothly and be in a good energetic flow. And there would be less resistance, because we're all living in the way that we are supposed to be living in comparison to everyone else, because we all have a role that we're meant to play. And if we play within those roles, then the world would be a lot happier. I just said like the same thing 3 times. So there are 4 human design types, and I'm not sharing these in any particular order. It's not that one type is better than the other or one is worse than the others. All of these have gifts and things to offer people. And so if you look at your human design type and you're like, oh, I don't like that, that's like worse than the other one, I wish I was this one, you're living out of alignment. You're living through your conditioning, and human design is all about deconditioning, and which is another aspect that I think is just so freaking cool about human design. So I want to try to be really concise in the information that I give in this episode. And again, it's like, if you want to know more, book a human design reading with me, because it would be so much fun to connect with you and share this information about yourself, because there can be really big insights. For instance, in the person that I was giving that human design reading to earlier this week, I said things that he was like, oh yes, like I do that. And you know, I have a sibling who tries to tell me that I shouldn't be doing that. And now I'm understanding now from learning my human design that I am meant to be showing up in this way. So it was really cool to have him kind of experience that and share that with me. So let's get into it. So everyone has a human design type. And your type is basically the role that you take on in this life. We all are meant to show up in a particular role. And if we lived in alignment with that role and in our human design in general, the world would be, it would operate so much more peacefully and we would experience less resistance, basically. There are four different types. And the first one is manifestors. And these are in no particular order. Manifestors are about 9% of the world population. They are really the initiators and the impactors of the world. Their gift is that they can literally initiate an impact. Other types are actually kind of waiting for the manifestors to initiate them, to get them started going in the role that they are meant to be taking up. And then we also have projectors, which are about 20% of the world population. And they're more like the guiders or the directors within the world. And they have this gift of really understanding and guiding others. So being able to understand people at a level that the other types can't necessarily, and then being able to guide those others based on those insights that they know about the other person that they understand so well. Then we also have generators and manifesting generators. So manifesting generators are sometimes considered the fifth type, but by default, by their chart, they're actually a generator. So I personally lump those two together and consider that there are only four types of human design rather than five, like other people say. So generators and manifesting generators make up about 70% of the world population. So they are the vast majority in comparison to the other types. They are the builders and they are the creators, and they have this gift of their work. Like literally the work that they do is their gift to the world, because the other types don't naturally have the energy that generators and manifesting generators do to create. And lastly, we have reflectors. Reflectors are less than 1% of the world population. They are fairly rare, and they're more like the detectors of the community, the literal reflectors. And they have this gift of their discernment or ability to judge well, their discernment of humanity. They are literally mirroring back to society what society is. It's a really interesting type. So again, all of these types have a specific role that they're meant to play, and they have these gifts that they are meant to use to elicit other things in other people and to show us things. And it's just so fascinating. So the person that I gave the human design reading to used to be in the restaurant business. So I actually gave him this example of how all of the signs kind of interplay with each other through a restaurant example. And I'll do the same for you, because I actually feel like it really does help you kind of understand how they all play into each other. I literally just said that, whatever. Anyway, so imagine that there is a restaurant business. You can kind of think as the owner of the restaurant business being a manifestor, because they are the ones that are kind of making those top level decisions, and it's getting funneled down, and that's initiating each other person within the business to take action in the role that they have within that business. And then you can imagine that so you have the owner, but the owner is not always the manager of the restaurant. So imagine that the manager of the restaurant is the projector, or that's like the position that projectors would hold in this world. So the information is coming from the owner, it's going down to the projector. And the reason why I put projector in this role is because projectors are really, again, like I said, kind of like the guiders. They are the directors. They have the ability to, again, really understand people and guide them appropriately based on what they understand of those people. So a good manager would be able to do that. They're able to guide the rest of the team in the way that, you know, needs to be seen. Then you have like the rest of the employees of the restaurant business. So you have the one manager, you know, maybe there's two, whatever, but you have this one manager that can really be more of the projector role in this instance. And then you have the rest of the restaurant employees. You have, you know, the hosts, the waiters, you know, the people that are cooking, all of that stuff. You can look at all of those people in the restaurant business as the generators and manifesting generators. They are the majority in comparison to the rest of the roles that are within the business that I'm talking about. And they're the doers. They're the ones that are that are doing all of the things to make all of the visions and everything happen. They're being guided and then they're doing all of those things. And then you have the reflectors. And I like this example for the reflectors. So you can look at the reflectors as the customers that are going to the business and enjoying the food and doing all of that stuff. And the reason why I like the customers as being the reflectors in this instance is if you have a company that is not running appropriately and you know, maybe have people that are just bad in customer service or the food is really bad or, you know, whatever it may be, the wait times are long, all the stuff, you're going to have those customers that are going to reflect back that experience of what is happening within that business via a complaint to the manager or a bad, you know, restaurant review, something like that. So hopefully that restaurant example kind of put it in perspective to show that like all of those things are necessary to run that restaurant business. All of these types are necessary for the world to operate more smoothly and more peacefully. And without having even just one of those types within this restaurant example, it doesn't work. If you don't have customers, you don't have revenue and you don't have a business. If you don't have the employees of the business, you don't have anyone to do the work within the business to provide those services to the customers. If you don't have the managers, you have that disconnect between the owner. And again, obviously I know in some roles, the owner is the manager, but giving you an example that has an owner and a separate manager. If you don't have a manager, then you don't have someone that's connecting the pieces from the owner that's making those top level decisions and bringing it down to the employees and then making sure that the employees are being guided in an appropriate way. And then if you don't have the owner, you don't even have a business. So it's really cool to just like kind of start to understand the dynamic between all of the different types and how they literally are all so important. So if you know your role, you can get that much closer to understanding how you're supposed to be showing up in this world. So let's move on to authority. So authority, I think, is one of the coolest aspects of human design. I think it's all freaking cool, but is one of the coolest aspects to human design because it's your unique decision-making mechanism. How cool would it be to just know like, oh, if I just follow this, that's going to be in alignment for me. And that's how I know that I'm making the right decisions for me. Because how often are we making decisions from big decisions to small decisions and thinking like, is this right for me? You know, you start to like drop into your mind and all of that, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, okay, I'll go into that. But you have one of seven authorities. So everyone only has one authority. You have all of the things that I'm sharing with you stays consistent your entire life. You're never going to change authorities. You're never going to have a different strategy. You're never going to change design types, you know, all of that stuff. So you'll have one of seven authorities that will stick with you for the rest of your life. Basically, kind of going back to the mind thing that I was telling you about, you have been conditioned to believe that your mind knows what's best for you. You've given it full reign over your decision-making. And the reason why that's wrong is because your mind is not meant to be in the driver's seat. It's meant to kind of be maybe like not a backseat driver because that has a bad connotation, but it's meant to just be someone else in the vehicle that is also being observant of the surroundings saying, oh, hey, you know, you're not slowing down. There's a red light, you know, there's a yellow light. You're going to have to stop. So you might want to slow down. Or, hey, the car is getting a little hot. Let's like roll down the windows. So, you know, something more passive. Your mind is not supposed to be the end all be all of your decision-making. It's meant to collect information, remember memories and experiences to help you maybe make a good decision, but it's not meant to make the decision. And I know that might be difficult to understand, but your mind is at best an ally, but not like a full commander. So there's like another example, if that helps you. Your authority is this other decision-making mechanism that you maybe have not been aware of, or it's something that you maybe have been aware of, but you didn't really know until learning your human design that it is the actual way that you are meant to be making decisions. So to give you an example, the person that I did the human design reading for, he was a manifestor and his authority is emotional. Emotional authority, I'm not going to go into all of them. If you want to know yours, you can find out your human design and you can book a reading with me. But his was emotional. And this basically means that he is meant to live out his emotional wave. And it's not like being sensitive to things. That's not what emotional means. It more so means the ups and downs of your emotions that needs to kind of level out. So imagine it, you know, as a wave kind of going up and down. He needs to wait until it kind of levels out, because with more time means more that that emotional wave is going to level out and the more clarity that he's going to get. And so with this, obviously naturally kind of comes time that he needs to make decisions. And when I told him what his authority was, that it was emotional and he needs to wait out that emotional wave, I was like, how does that feel for you? Like, does that feel natural to you? And he's like, yes. He's like, I am always kind of taking my time with decisions. I don't like to jump into things. And he's like, but I have a sibling who is always telling me like, no, you should be able to just make the decision right now. Like, what, you don't need to wait. Just like, think about it and do it right now. And now he knows that that's really not how he's meant to show up. So our call really kind of gave him that boost of confidence and reassurance that he does actually know how to make the right decisions for him. He already knew that he needs to take his time. He's not someone that has to be making impulsive decisions based on his authority, but now he has the human design to kind of back it up and reassure him that that is him living in alignment. So that was a really cool time within that call. So going back to authority, you have also been conditioned to seek authority and approval from others. So anything outside of yourself. And so learning that your authority and making decisions from your place of authority, your actual authority, further ensures you that you're making decisions that are individually correct for you. So again, kind of going back to the example that I just gave you for him, now he understands that he's making those decisions individually correct for him, not because he was conditioned, oh, I should be able to make decisions right now. So therefore, okay, yeah, I'll just be accommodating and I'll make that decision right now since you need me to make a decision. And that's really just not meant how he's meant to show up. I have such a hard time saying that for some reason. I cannot tell you what your authority is based on your human design because there are 7 different authorities. So there could be more than one possibility for your type. Not that you would individually have multiple authorities because you don't, you only have the one authority, but there's the possibility of more than one. So I can't sit here and say, oh, you know, manifestors have this authority, generators have this authority, reflectors have this authority, and projectors have this authority, because there's actually more than one available to some of those types. So I just don't want to get into all of those. But if you're interested in learning yours, you can definitely pull your human design chart. It will tell you your authority. And if you're interested in diving more, then book a reading with me because I would love to talk to you about it. So moving on to strategy. So strategy is really cool. It's basically how we interact with things outside of ourselves. So how we interact with outside stimuli. And it's how we use our energy while doing this. So I can tell you what yours would be based on your type in this specific scenario. So if you're a manifestor, your strategy is to inform. And I kind of go through, I think, maybe a little bit of this, I went through a little bit of this previously, but regardless, I'm going to go through it right now. So your strategy, if you are a manifestor, is to inform. You are literally meant to interact with the outside stimuli, with your outside stimuli, by informing others of what you're doing. And it's not that you're asking for permission, because you're not. It's just that you are telling people what your decisions are or what you're thinking about doing before you actually do them, or at least while you're doing them. And there's so much that goes into all of this. So again, if you want to learn more, book a reading with me, because it would be so, so much fun to go through with it with you and see what comes up for you. So for projectors, their strategy is to wait for the invitation. So this can get like a little frustrating for projectors, because they just don't want to be waiting all the time. You know, they want to like make things happen, but it's in when they wait for the invitation, that's when they are really going to thrive. And that's when their time is meant to be. So if they're trying to make things happen and just going for it without waiting for the invitation, then that's when they can kind of be met with some resistance. So for generators, I'm a generator. So for generators and manifesting generators, our strategy is to respond. And this like might seem a little weird, because it seems like you're also just like waiting for things to happen, kind of more like the projector strategy, like you're waiting for the invitation. You're not necessarily waiting. It's that things are always happening to you. You're constantly responding to outside stimuli. So really, it's just your strategy to be responding to those things. Is it a yes? Is it a no? Is it a full body yes? Is it a not right now? And there's so much more that goes into that. But that's basically the basis of your strategy as a generator or manifesting generator, is to respond. You are here to respond to life, specifically responding to the things that light you up. But that's like a whole other portion of human design for generators and manifesting generators. And then for reflectors, their strategy is to wait for a lunar cycle. So a lunar cycle takes 28 days. And so remember what I said about reflectors being that they are here. Their role is to literally mirror back what is happening in society, in their close circles, you know, in whatever given situation that they're in. And so the purpose of their strategy being wait for a full lunar cycle is because they're being so influenced by others' energy and the circumstances of the situations that they sometimes can get kind of clouded by all of that. And when they get clouded by it, they're actually not making decisions for themselves. They're making decisions out of the energies from other people. And this can kind of happen to a lot of us anyway, but this is really, really important for reflectors to be aware of. And so when they do that strategy of waiting for a lunar cycle, it gives them enough time to really suss out, as I like to say, the right decisions for them. So just as all this is like so interesting, I hope you're like fascinated by it. So let's move on to signature. Signature is what you're going to basically experience when you are living in alignment with your human design. So when you know that your human design type is a manifestor and your authority is, you know, whatever it may be, and that's how you're making decisions and you are using your strategy in accordance to your type, you are going to experience peace as a manifestor. And it's, again, it's really just kind of like the number one cue that you are living in alignment with your human design. Projectors are going to be experiencing success. And again, this really goes to them just living by their design, making their decisions from their authority and using their strategy daily in all their interactions, and they will feel and experience success. So for generators and manifesting generators, it is satisfaction. And this really specifically kind of stems from their work. Because again, I said for generators and manifesting generators, their gift to the world is their work. So when they're feeling satisfaction, it is most likely going to come directly from the work that they are doing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like career work. It could be maybe like a passion project or a hobby that they're doing. And it's, again, it's like, it's something that they're creating because they're the builders in this world. And so they'll feel satisfaction typically from that stuff. But again, overall, it's just when you are living in alignment, you're going to feel satisfied as a generator or manifesting generator. And then for reflectors, it's actually going to be surprise. That is their signature. So they will experience surprise when they are living in alignment, which I think is just so fascinating. And in the same way that all of these types have these things that they would experience in a more positive way when they are living in alignment, human design also tells us our not self theme, which is the exact opposite of the signature. It's what you're going to experience when you're living out of alignment. And really what you're going to experience when you're operating from a place of conditioning. And again, like I said before, human design is all about deconditioning. So your not self theme is really important for you to remember because, and again, these will also stay the same your entire life, but these are really important to remember because these are those cues for you to really assess what's going on in your life and get back on track. So for manifestors, their not self theme is anger. For projectors, it is bitterness. For generators and manifesting generators, it is frustration. And then for reflectors, it is disappointment. So kind of like as a little recap for these last couple sections. So for manifestors, when you're living in alignment, you're going to be feeling peace. When you are living out of alignment, anger is going to come up for you. So those are really two important things to be mindful of moving forward. So you don't even have to know anything else about your human design to understand that at least these two different feelings for you, this goes for all types, that these two different feelings for you are really big indicators. And I think it's just really important to be mindful of those two things. And then for projectors, if you're living in alignment, you're going to feel success. And when you are living out of alignment, you're going to feel bitterness. And then for generators and manifesting generators, you are going to feel satisfaction when you're living in alignment with your human design. And when you are living out of alignment and living from a place of conditioning, frustration is going to come up for you. And then if you're a reflector, you are going to feel surprise when you are living in alignment with your human design. And if you are living out of alignment and operating from a place of conditioning, then you're really going to be faced with disappointment. So that is kind of the main things that I wanted to share in this episode. I hope you found it really motivating to look up your human design. Even if you don't book a human design reading with me. And this episode at least prompts you to look up your human design through the link in my show notes, which it's not like an affiliate link or anything. Like, I don't get any money from it. I'm just like giving you the resource. I hope that it at least motivates you to look up your chart for free and maybe go back to this episode and listen to it again, because just looking at your human design chart, you'll see like, oh, you're a projector, and oh, this is your strategy, and this is your authority, and all that stuff. But it's not, it's just kind of words on a page. You're not going to really know what any of it means. So if you go back and at least listen to this episode, I will go into a little bit more detail of your type, your authority, your strategy, your signature, and your not self theme, which can really be game changing to even just know the baseline like the foundational information just from these topics, like can be really, really helpful for you. Because with human design, because it is such a vast system of information, just literally all about you, it can be really overwhelming. But again, like I said, I think earlier in this episode, if you don't have your type, authority, strategy, signature, and not self theme well understood, and you haven't been actively experimenting with those things throughout your day and your life, it's really pointless to dive even more into your human design, because there's other amazing things like your incarnation cross and your profile. Those are super, super helpful things for you to know and understand within your life. But if you don't even have the basis of these things kind of nailed down, not to say that like you're going to be able to do it 100% every single day. I mean, again, we're subjected to conditioning. We have centers that are open, and that influences how we show up in our lives, which again, centers are a whole other thing. But there's all these other things that are influencing you, good and bad, but you really can't live out your human design type fully if you don't have like the solid understanding of these topics that I talked about in this episode. So that's really the purpose of me sharing these things, is just to even know these things about you can be game changers. And I really hope that that's what you find as well. So I'm going to wrap up this episode. Again, I hope you found it helpful. There's that link again in my show notes where you can look up your human design chart for free. I don't get any money from it. It's just literally a resource I want to give you so that you can look up your human design. But again, remember, you do need to know your birth date, which I'm sure you know, but you need to know your birth date, time and place. So time and place are kind of the two things that always trip up people. And they typically have to go back to their birth certificate in order to find out those things. With that, again, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in, and I can't wait to talk to you next time.